Shalom Rabosei, we're going to begin the second shir, but this is actually the third recording on for Chazara for this semester's contemporary halacha. We're going to go through Hilchos Chol HaMoed, we'll go through Hilchos Zmanim, hair covering from Avu Willig, halachas of Yerusha and estates, halachas of Mechiras Chametz, and we'll finish possibly with vaccinations and Lashon Hara if we have time. Let's begin with Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So, first of all, it's important to realize the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says Hamavazes Hamoados Ein Lo Chiluk Olam Haba, and Rashi points out that Mavazes Hamoados cannot. We're not talking about chil, otherwise violating melacha that would be chil. So therefore, Rashi says it's a minhag, meaning Mavaze would be to be noheg chol beachilu shtiyah. So you have to make sure you have good food, make sure you dress nicely, not to violate Mavazes Hamoados. Now, as far as the melacha on Chol HaMoed, whether it's considered daraisa derabanan, the Gemara Chagiga Yudches has five different drashos to indicate that there's an Isser Melacha, which all sound as though it's an Isser Daraisa. For example, the Gemara says, Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yomim, well, 7 days includes Chol HaMoed. Similarly, by Sukkot, it says, Kol Melachas Avodah Lo Sa'asu Shivas Yomim, also 7 days including Chol HaMoed. So both Pesach and Sukkot have an Isser of 7 days, it seems. Sounds like it's Daraisa. Gemara also suggests a Kal V'Chomer. If in the beginning and the end there's an Isser Melacha, certainly the middle should have an Isser Melacha. Rabbi Kiva has a drasha, Elam Adei Hashem, that's a Yitur, so that's so we have a lot of possible things that Papsukim that indicate that it should be Daraisa. However, Tosis there says that they're all Asmachtas, and Tosis points that out because how could there ever be an Isser Melacha that has a heter for Davar HaAved? If it's Taka Daraisa, we don't have room for the Kula of Davar HaAved. Secondly, Tos points out, the Yerushalmi says, Osru Melacha, Klum, Osru Melacha, El Lechov Lilma, Toyusit, Osru Milashan Chachamim. And finally, we know that there should be only five aliyahs if it's an Isser Melacha like Yantif, yet we know Chol HaMoed is only four. So rather, Tos says, Zotaka Isser Melacha of Yantif of Chol HaMoed is only Drabanan. And what's the Yisod? The Yisod of the Dinim Drabanan, this Melacha Drabanan, is that they asked all these Melachas so that they could maintain a certain character of the day. And that Yisod, that Chachamim set up the Isser Melacha to maintain a character of the day, will explain lots of points as far as of what they did permit when it comes to Isser Melacha. The way that we could explain that, on one hand, it is Daraisa, on the other hand, we have the parameters that seem to be arbitrary as far as, you know, Davar HaAved, Tzorchei Rabim, Tzorech. The way to understand that sort of dichotomy would be to understand that Masna HaKasu LaChachamim to determine what the day should look like. The Isser, that which isn't in the Melacha, yeah, that's Daraisa. How the Isser Melacha should look, what are the parameters, that's Masna HaKasu LaChachamim to determine what we should stay away from to get to that Yisod of the character of the day that the Torah wanted us to have. The fact that it would be, whether or not we assume, the Mishnah Berurah, when he brings down, I think, the Be'er Halacha, which Rishonim assume that Isser Melacha is Daraisa, which Melacha is Darabanan, he ends up saying that it's a gigantic, raging machlokas, 12 shitas on each side, whether or not Melacha on Chol HaMoed is Daraisa or Darabanan. Now, there's some nafkaminas whether or not we assume Melacha is Daraisa or Darabanan. First of all, will we apply Shus to Shus Makam Mitzvah? Second of all, would there be a Chiyuv of Tefillin if there's an Isser Melacha Daraisa, so there's an Os of the Isser Melacha that there should not be required, the Os of Tefillin. Obviously, another nafkamina would be if the Safik Melacha, will you be Mekel or will you be Machmir? Those are that's as far as machlokas daraisa derabban. In terms of the halachos, so there are five general heterim to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, and those are the following: davar ha'aved, a pol she'en lo mayochal, tzorchei rabim, and tzorach ha'moed depends. Tzorach ha'moed, if it's a tzorach ochel nefesh, then anything can be done, even a ma'ase uman. If it's only a regular tzorach, then that's not Ochel Nefesh, then only a Maisa Hedyot is going to be permitted, as we will discuss soon. What's important also to keep in mind that aside from the Isra Malacha, there might also be a different parameter, which is an Isra of Tircha. Meaning, even if there's no Malacha involved, there might be a special Isra not to do Tircha, which would make sense, because of the whole point is the Chachamah want you to be at a certain place on Yontif or maintain a certain character of the day. So even if no, something might not be a Malacha, it still be the Tircha that would be undermining what the Torah wants the day to look like. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch, for example, passes that even though, if you want to move from apartment to apartment, even if there's no Isra of Hotzah or carrying or anything, or even Muktzah, but moving is a Tircha, and therefore would be Aser on Chol HaMoed. In terms of the question, if there is an Isra of, let's say you have done that is a Malacha, but there's no Tircha involved, like just flipping on a switch or talking on a phone, let's say it's not for Tzarech HaMoed. So would that be usur because there's a malacha involved, even though there's no tircha at all? That's a big machlokas in the achronim. It is important to note that the halachas of muktza do not apply to chol hamoed. Gzeres drabanan in general don't apply to chol hamoed. Those are two leniencies of chol hamoed as opposed to regular shabbosos. Now, let's talk about tzorech. When we say something's a tzorech hamoed, so we mentioned that if it's for ochel nefesh, even a ma'aseh uman will be permitted. So if someone's a pastry chef, they can make the most elaborate pastries, even if it's a ma'aseh uman, because it's a pastry chef, because it's for food. When you're doing something for, when you're doing something that's not, when you're doing something that's, not a ochel nefesh, then, so let's say you're going to do, you want to change your tire on your way to Hershey Park. So there, it's not a ma'aseh uman. It's not a tzorech haguf, so we're not going to permit a ma'aseh hadyot, a ma'aseh uman. We will permit a ma'aseh hadyot, so a flat tire, you could change. On the other hand, if your carburetor breaks, you have to do some serious mechanical repairs. I'm not really sure what a carburetor does. But that will be usur because, even though it's a tzorech hamoed, because it's a ma'aseh uman. As far as a very nogela ma'aseh issue, if you want to print something out on a printer, here you have an interesting situation because, is it a ma'aseh uman? Well, it's easy. I just sort of press Control P or print and it prints. On the other hand, the result is a very beautifully laser printed, neat looking document. So it looks professional. So it looks like a ma'aseh uman, even though I didn't have to do a ma'aseh uman. So this was a machlokas regarding the Polaroid camera. The Igros Moshe said, since anyone can do it, you don't have to be a tremendous person to make a nice picture. So it's mutter. Rav Yaakov said, no, since it comes out as a professional touch, that would be defined, therefore, as a ma'aseh uman. When we say that tzorchei haguf are permitted, that is not just for ochel nefesh per se. It's tzorchei haguf in general. Let me rephrase that. When we say that ochel nefesh is permitted even to do ma'aseh uman, it's not just ochel nefesh, it's even extended to tzorchei haguf. So for example, the Mishnah in, I think, Chagiga says that a woman is allowed to put on makeup even with a cosmetologist, even if it's a ma'aseh uman. Why? Because it's just like ochel nefesh, therefore it has that heter of ma'aseh uman. So similarly, if something else would be considered necessary for the guf, or even if it's not food or touching the body, for example, the lock, you can't lock your house, so you're not going to feel safe on Yontif. Or you're locked out of your house, you have to get a uman to locksmith to fix your house during Chol HaMoed. Or similarly, your toilet broke. So if you have 12 bathrooms in your house, so it's not a tzarech Yontif for this. You know, it's not a tzorech haguf to have this bathroom working. But if you only have two bathrooms and you have five people in the house, or three bathrooms and you have seven people in the house, whatever the numbers might be, that might be considered tzorech haguf, and a ma'aseh uman would be permitted even there. Continuing this parameter of something that's a tzorech haguf, which will permit even a ma'aseh uman, what about going to the doctor? Well, here there's a different issue that you're not supposed to be kivein malach to lemoed. I mean, even if there's a something that you want to, that might be considered a heter, but you're not allowed to arrange it specifically, you know, push it off during the year so you can take care of it when you have a lot of free time on your hand, like Chol HaMoed. That's going to be aser. However, if it's kivin l'mach to l'moed for tzorech haguf, that will be mutter. just to continue the point of Tzorech HaGuf, let's say you need your glasses fixed. That's going to also be an extension of Ochel Nefesh and will be permitted. As far as dentists, going to the dentist, checkups, there might be a difference between checkups versus a cavity. Cavity, of course, is a Tzorech HaGuf. If you're in pain, of course, that's going to be mutter, no less than Ochel Nefesh. You could do a Maisa Uman. If it's just a regular checkup, well, here we have to ask, it's a Maisa Uman, but is it a Tzorech HaGuf? So on one hand, Rav Shaimer Ul Yashu says it's okay to go to the doctor just for a check, and presumably a dentist also, because Hilchas Chol HaMoed allows all medicines, all refuah. So what should be the problem? However, Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov say no, since it's a it's like Kibbeh Melachto, or it's like it's not considered Tzorech HaGuf because no one's in pain, so that would not be appropriate. So that's a machlokas. When we talk about the heter of Davar HaAved, we have to realize that Mais Uman would be permitted if it's for a Davar HaAved. The only thing is that it should not be an excessive tircha, and also you're not allowed to be, like we mentioned, Chavin Malach to Lemoed. If it's a Davar HaAved, that has to be taken care of at some point. Well, you can't say, oh, wait till Chamoed to do it. We also have to realize that when we talk about Davar HaAved, that's not a, I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm going to have the opportunity to gain profit, where I'm avoiding the possibility of losing a menias revach. Davar HaAved means I'm going to be losing capital, principal, to qualify for the heter of Davar HaAved. And once it does qualify as Davar HaAved, I'll be losing my capital. Something's breaking in my house. I have a leak in my house. Then we'll permit even a Maisa Uman to prevent my house from breaking further. There is an Isser of Pragmatia, even though it's not a real Malacha. Pragmatia is also Asser, perhaps because of Tircha, or perhaps because of Sheva Yichtov. But the logic is very reasonable. If the whole point of Yantif is Lilmot Torah v'chadomah, so if we allow commerce, it's going to basically undermine the mood that we're assigned to, the goals of the Yantif that we're trying to facilitate. If there is a Tzorech Moed, then commerce will be permitted if you do it b'shiner. So for example, if you have limited hours or the door of the store is half closed, that is for Tzorech HaMoed, then since you're doing that shinoi, as a Tzorech HaMoed, then business would be permitted. Some poskim suggested that if you have a person who has a company or a store and you have regular customers, and all of a sudden you're going to be closed for 8 days, so they'll go to the competition. So that's, you're going to end up losing your steady base of your customer base. That would also constitute Davar HaAved. Another kula heter in the permitted things of Chol HaMoed is Tzorchei Rabim. Tzorchei Rabim has a fascinating heter, svara. The Rosh quotes a Ravid and says that, you know why Tzorchei Rabim are mutter Chol HaMoed? Because since the Tzorchei Rabim, nobody ever wants to deal with it. Nobody has responsibility. So therefore, the community could specifically plan those activities for Chol HaMoed so that, because people are off and they can't do their other things, they'll be able to take care of this Tzorchei HaRabim, because otherwise, you know, anything that a lot of people have to take care of, nobody ends up taking care of. Now, it's important to realize that the kula of Tzorchei Rabim are only those kulas that relate to Tzorchei HaGuf, meaning somebody's going to trip on the floor, so the mikveh have to be fixed. That's when we're going to be allowed, that's when the heter of Tzorchei Rabim will extend even to do a Maisa Uman. But you can't do a Maisa Uman to, for example, build a shul, even though, oh, it's Tzorchei Rabim. No, it's not Tzorchei HaGuf, and therefore, even the Tzorchei Rabim, we will not permit Tzorchei Rabim. Okay, that will be as far as the halachas of Chol HaMoed. Let's go to the next shiur. The next shiur was Rabbi Shechter's shiur on Zmanei Hayom. Just in terms of defining what alos is, what shkia is, alos is not when we say Netzacham, when the sun rises, it doesn't mean that sunrise is when the sun is completely above the horizon. It means that first little drip, the first little dot of the ball of sun rising above the horizon, that's already Netzacham, as opposed to Shki, which is the opposite. Shki, you need the entire ball of fire of the sun to be completely below the horizon. The moment that the last bit of the ball of sun sinks below the horizon, that's when the moment of Shki is. Now, the Gemara tells us that there's a concept of saying Shema at Mishayakir. So the Gemara says that the Vasikin who want to do Lefnei Mishras Hadin, they would say Shema Mishayakir es Chaveiro. So first of all, what time is Mishayakir es Chaveiro? That's a very important shaila as far as during the winter, how early people could put on their Talis Tefillin. So the Igros Moshe said that based on, he looks around in New York, it's about 35-40 minutes, which is what Rav Schechter assumes when he walks in the street. You know, that amount of time, 35 minutes before, Netzach Hama, it's already, that's the first moment that you could really start recognizing, seeing things. Other poskim, and many shuls are makel to assume that it's 50 or 55 minutes, even though Rav Schechter feels that, how could that be? You're just that early before Netz, you can't really see anything. Now, what do we do with this Gemara in Brachos Chaf Beis that says that the Vasikin said Shema Mishayakir? So the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that they actually did Shalom in Hadin, that it was not proper what they did, that really you're supposed to say Shema right before Netz. You should say Shema, you're not supposed to say Shema before Netz, and therefore if they davened, if you daven Vasikin and you're going to say Shema before Netz, you're not going to be fulfilling Shema according to Rabbeinu Tam, because Shema has to be after Netz. But we don't really pass like it. Most person does pass like Rabbeinu Tam. Baal Moris suggests that the goal, the ideal place, the Vasikin way of saying Shema would be to say it in that small interval between when the sun begins to appear on the horizon and when it fully is above the horizon. Let's say those 2 minutes, while the ball of sun, the ball of fire is starts till it's completely visible. That's that Misha, that's that Din of Vasikin, when the best ideal way to say, time to say Shema. The the Ramban suggests that it is the same way B'Shachach of Kamecha, the Cha tells you that we will allow you to say Shema, not just like the majority of people when people wake up, but even Cha, even those even those people like B'nai Malachim, we don't go to work and wake up late, that's the latest time to say Shema. So the earliest time to say Shema is Mishayak, and that taka would be Lechatchila, according to Ramban. There's a hitter, Midaraisa. The Torah is giving you sort of a benchmark from here till there. And therefore, according to Ramban, it would be a hitter to say Shema at Mishayak here, even if you didn't have your Talis Tefillin, and even if you're not being Sakul Tefillah, there would be an independent hitter to say Shema Mishayakir. Fine. Let's go to the next point. The next point is Sosman Kriyashma. Sosman Kriyashma is until one quarter of the day, and there's a famous machlokas whether we calculate the day. I mean, if you're saying you get 3 hours into the day, well, what's 3 hours and how much into the day is that? A quarter into the day from either sunrise to sunset or from Alos to Seis. That's the machlokas in Magen Avraham and Gra. Next point, let's talk about Zman Tefillah now. That's until one third of the day, 4 hours into the day. So we hold that you should say it until, like we said, one third of the day, 4 hours into the day. But yeah, you could still go till Chatzos. So the Kesef Mishnah says, why? What is this? Is it till a third of the day, or is it till Chatzos? So there are two suggestions that the Kesef Mishnah suggests, and that is that really, L'chatchila, you should say it by a third of the day. B'di'eved, you could go till Chatzos, just like Musaf has a L'chatchila till the seventh hour, but B'di'eved till the end of the day, so too, Shachris. But there's another way, which is mashman like this in the Rambam, that it's not that L'chatchila B'di'eved, it's that it really depends whether you missed tefillah on purpose or b'shogig. If b'mezid, you wanted to, you wanted to daven late, we're only going to let you daven until a third of the day, until Zman Tefillah. And if you missed that, well, if you had the choice, you chose to daven later, we will not even allow you to daven at all, even b'di'eved. We will not allow you to daven b'di'eved until Chatzos. However, if somebody was ba'ones or shogi, wasn't able to daven by Zman Tefillah, then we will allow them to daven shachris until Chatzos, because once you get to Chatzos, that's already the beginning of the next Zman of Tefillah. So it's sort of like a din of tashlumin. I mean, you're allowed to do tashlumin until the next man of the tefillah. So if you're a be'ones or a be'shogi, where we'll give you the leniency of the tashlumin will allow you to do tashlumin for shachris until chatzos. That's the way that might be more mashma in the Rambam. Let's go to the next point. Let's talk about Chatzos Hayom. Now, where do we find mitzvos that relate to Chatzos Hayom, and how do you determine Chatzos Hayom? Chatzos Hayom, when we talk about, well, let's Chatzos Hayom, of course, we know by Korban Pesach, and therefore the Isser Chametz Midaraisa, on Erev Pesach, but of course Chachamim added an hour or 2 hours before that. How do you calculate those hours? Well, there's machlokas whether those hours, that hour or 2 hours for the Issa D'Rabbanan of Issa Achil and Issa Hanah before Chatzos is only a 60-minute hour, or is it Shos Manios? So on Erev Pesach, we're machmir to use the Shos Manios because it ends up being more than 60 minutes, 64, 3-4 minutes an hour for Shos Manios, so we try to be machmir. When it comes to davening Mincha in general, and you want to wait half an hour after Chatzos, so the same question could be asked, do you use half an hour, meaning 30 minutes, or half an hour, Shos Manios, which will mean during the winter, let's say 26, 27, 28 minutes after Chatzos, and during the summer, it means 34, 35, 36 minutes after Chatzos. So the Mishmaru suggests that you should be machmir on both sides. So during the winter, you should wait 30 minutes after Chatzos, and during the summer, you should wait more than 30 minutes, you should wait even until it's more than Chatzos. Okay, let's go to the next point. The Aruch HaShulchan has a fabulous way to understand four different points in Hilchos Zman. Right? We have Machlokas, Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yehuda regarding what time, Zman Kriyashma, Zman Tefillah, Musav, Mincha, no, not Zman Kriyash, Mariv is, all the different Tefillos of the day are Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbanan. So is there any common denominator, or is it just happens to be a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda with all these different areas of halacha? So the Aruch HaShulchan says a gevald gezach. He says that Rabbi Yehuda says that the tefillah, the zman tefillah, corresponds to when the korban was actually brought. So, for example, the korban tamid shel shachrus is always brought by the 4 hours. Well, Rabbanan reply, don't tell me when the korban was actually brought. Tell me when halachically it could be brought. It could be brought till chatzos. So you could daven shachrus till shachatzos. Same thing by mincha, the korban musaf. The korban musaf was brought by 7 hours. Chacham say, forget about when it was brought. It could be brought all day. Mincha was brought, says Rabbi Yehuda, till plaga mincha. Chacham say, come on, you could bring it till, you know, till shkia. So that's the underlying machlokas, the common thread that bellies the machlokas of Yehuda and Rabbanan. Let's go to the next point, talking about davening mincha. There's Mincha Ketana, of course, which is Mincha Gdola is half an hour, as we mentioned, after Chatzos, so you don't Shema Yitta. The question is, what would happen if you davened B'di'eved during the first half hour after Chatzos? It's the same question, actually, is what would happen if you brought the Korban Talmid in that first half hour after Chatzos and you didn't wait the Shema Yitta time? That's discussed. Another point, when we talk about davening Mincha, not Mincha Gdola right after Chatzos, but later in the afternoon, you're supposed to the Rambam writes that it's the chatchil to daven mincha after mincha ketana. So therefore, for example, if, however, there's a b'di'eved situation, or shas adchak, because shas adchak k'di'evedami, so let's say you don't want to break your afternoon seder in the middle to have to daven mincha ketana, which would be more than chatchila, then one could rely on the imikra then to be able to daven mincha gedola, to not have to break afternoon seder. Rav Soloveitchik happened to say that it is okay to daven mincha gedola chatchila. That's that question. Now, let's go to talk about mincha ma'ariv. Rav Yehuda says that you could daven mincha until plag ha-mincha. Chachamim say that you could daven mincha not only till plag, but even till shkia. So, the question is, when will you daven ma'ariv? So, Mariv will be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, after Plag, and according to Chachamim, after Shkia. So, how could you daven Mariv so early? So Rashi points out that don't worry about when you daven, when you said Shema, because Shema, of course, has to be at night. Don't worry about when you daven Mariv, or whether it was before night or not, because after all, you're going to say, you're going to be Yotzei Shema later, you'll daven Mariv, and then you'll be Yotzei Shema later when you go to sleep. Because Minat Torah, Rashi assumes you only need to say the first parashi of Shema, which is what you do when you go to bed. But Rabbi Natan says, wait a second. Midoraisa, you have to say both parashios of Shema, which you don't do al hamita. So therefore, it must be that the reason why we're able to say Dav Marv, you know, at Shkia, must be because we hold, like, I'm sorry, the reason why you're able to daven Marv so early, even though you're not really being Yotze al hamita, must be that we daven Mincha like Chachamim, and we daven Marv like Rabbi Yehuda, which ends up being Taka, a Tartu Sastri. So Kvega suggests that maybe it's because Shema is only Drabana, and that's why we could use the din of David Kamaravid. But Rabbi Shechta suggested, based on the Ramban in Hilchas Avelos, that even if you would assume, like those Rishonim who say that Avelos Yom Rishon is Minat Torah, we still could apply the din of Halacha Kedivri HaMekel BaAvelos. So you see that the concept of being able to be Mekel could apply even on a Daraisis. That could also say why Tosis allows you to do a Tata Desasri, not because it's Drabanan, like Rabbi Kavega said, but that Shema is only Drabanan, but maybe it's Daraisa, but still, we would allow a Tata Desasri, fine. That was a little bit of a complicated piece. Next point is how we define what is the nature of, we know that Ben HaShemash is in the evening, is a, you know, between Shkia and Seis. And in the morning, you have that Zman between Alos and Nates. But there's a difference. The Yishami says that Alos till Nates is Vadayom. Of course, Lechatchil, you have to wait to do the mitzvah of Megillah, the mitzvah of Bris, mitzvah of Halal, you should wait for Nates. What's that idea that Lechatchil, you should wait to do all the mitzvahs, even though it's Vadayom, the Yishami told us, from the earlier time, from Alos HaShachar? So the Pashtus is that you want to, you know, it's a din d'rabbanan. You want to make sure that you're not, you don't make mistakes. However, there's a possibility to say that it's even a lechatchil on a d'oraisa level, because in Breishis there's two definitions to yom, either light, it's light outside, or the sun is shining, which is a little bit later, that's at Nates. So perhaps lechatchila, we should wait till all the definitions of yom have been achieved, and if not, at least once one definition of yom has arrived, it's already dina k'yom. When it comes to Ben HaShemashos, which is a man of Safik between Shkia and Tseis, there we have an interesting definition of what that Zman Safik means. So the Ritva talks about a situation where the Ketores has to be in his hand, and the Kohen Gadol's hand. What happens to, you know, there's certain halachas to what's outside of his fingers, what's inside his fingers, what's about the stuff between his fingers. So the Ritva says it's not in his fingers, it's not outside his fingers, because they're two different halachas. Rather, it's dina kesafik. Since it's a tar to the safri, it's dina kesafik. So, ben hashmashos is not a zman safik. Ben hashmashos could be a din of yom and a din of laila, which is a tar to the safri. So therefore, we treat it as a safik. So really, it might not be that ben hashmashos is a safik. It's that since it's a tar to the safri in its definition, in its personality, we treat it as a safik. That's a word from the Rav. Now, let's finish off this shiur in terms of when is Ben HaShemashos and when is Laila. So we have a stira in the Gemara. Well, first of all, we know that a meal is 18 minutes, and that's why Chometz takes at least 18 minutes, because it's a meal. Professor Levy from Machon Lev says that our time system, that meal is really 22 and a half of our minutes. But the Gemara says that a person, that the Zman from Ben HaShemashos, the Zman of Ben HaShemashos is 4 mil, which is the time, sorry, the Gemara says that 4 mil from sunset, from Shkia till Tse. So 4 mil, if we assume it's, let's see, 18 minutes, that's 72 minutes. If you assume it's 22 and a half minutes times 4, that's going to be 1.5 hours. So that's the distance between Shkia and Seis, 72 minutes. The Tosa says to steer, but there's another Gemara elsewhere that says that Ben HaShemashos is only 3/4 of a meal, which is, let's say, at 18 minutes, it's 13.5 minutes. So there are two answers to this question. There's basically what we call Tseis of Rabbeinu Tam, and as opposed to the Gra. So Ravina Tam says, no. The way to do it is, of course, there are 4 mil, but those first part of the 4 mil is Vada Yom, and only the last three quarters of the meal is Ben Hashmashos. In other words, this is the 72 minutes that people say. White Seis is 72 minutes after Shkia. You have four mil. That doesn't mean that between Shkia and Seis is Ben Hashmashos. No. From, let's use 18-minute meals, not 22 and a half, just easier. So if you have if you have four mil from Shkia to Seis, only the last three quarters of a meal, last 13 and a half minutes, are Ben Hashmashos. The first 68 minutes or so, 68 and a half minutes, are Vada Yom. The Gras says, that's very nice that you're telling me that Seis is not till 72 minutes after Shkia, but Hachosh Machesh is pitch black much, much, much earlier than that. Rather, Ben Hashmashos begins at Shkia, and three quarters of a mil later it's Seis, 13 and a half minutes later it's Seis. And the other Gemara that said that there's four mil between Shkia and Seis was talking about some other agadic point, which is not important for us. Okay, that's the end of the Shia about Zmanim. Let's continue and go to Rav Willig's Shia about Tznius and hair covering. Let's start with the Shok. What Shok Beisha Erev, the Gemara Tav Brachos tells us, and be careful of a Shok Beisha Erev. The Gemara, the question that we have is, we know that any Makom Mechusa of a woman is Aser Betefach. So what is Shok Beisha Erev telling us more than that which we already know, that Tefach Beisha Erva? So the Prima Gadim brings three answers. First of all, the Rashba suggests that this is teaching you that you should know that the Shok is a Makom Mechusa. You might have not even realized that it's a Makom Mechusa in the first place. The Bach tells you that even though normally Tefach Beisha Erva, when it comes to the Shok, that is going to be also even less than a Tefach. The Gos Maimonides says a third suggestion, that even for women, the shok is an issue, and therefore a woman can't daven opposite the shok of even another woman. Now, the Mishnah Brura says that when it comes to whatever is right, you're allowed to daven or learn opposite whatever normally women expose, whatever ragel is to be revealed, you let a davening done. But zroh v'shok, this fact that it says shok v'sherva tells that even a shok, that a shok will be us, even if they are ragil to bear their shok. Rabbi Willig pointed out that, wait a second, that's against the three sheets in the Prima Gan. The three sheets in the Prima Gan says what is shok eiring, and it didn't say this chumra of the Mishnah Berurah that a shok is objectively Aser, even if it's regilos to, if women are regilos to bear it. And therefore it would seem from the other answers that a Zroen Shok would be subjected to the mode of dress. If it's normal for a woman to bear it, then Shok would be Mutter. So there is, in terms of, do we follow, you know, is there an objective standard of Tznius that the Torah requires or not, we have a Rush. The Rush in Brachos says something about subjectivity, and the machlokas what the Rush means. The Dibri Chamudas and the Rush says that everything, every part of a body is tali on minhag. If the women in a certain area uncover a certain part of the body, it's not covered, so that's not erva. Even if it's zoa and if it's shok. However, the Tiferes Shmuel says no. That the whole kula of the Rush that says that everything is subjective and is based on the custom, that's only talking about, you know, things that are, you know, the face and the hands and the feet. That's all what we say is based on the custom. However, everything else, like, you know, like a low neckline or something like that, that's going to be also regardless of what the custom is. As far as defining where the shok is, that we're having this discussion, the Mishnah Berurah says that the shok is from the knee up, meaning the thigh. Chazon Ish brings a number of proofs to say no. The shok is below the knee, from the knee to the ankle. Well, why is this so important? Because if we assume that the shok is going to be relative to what people do, it's going to be objectively aser, like the Mishnah Berurah says. So that means, according to the Chazon Ish, there's an objective erva all the way down to the ankle. The skirt has to go down to the ankle. If you say like the other tzad, that the Mishnah Berurah, that it's the knee, that means you just have to cover until the knee. regardless of what the minhag is. Rabbi Willig wants to suggest that maybe the Chazanish is right as far as the definition that the whole leg is called a shuk. But Rabbi Willig argues on the Mishnah Berurah and says that everything depends on what the normal derech for women to do is. So if women, again, except for one thing, except, like the Rambam says, kol gufa isha erva, which Rabbi Willig understands as the torso, so anything that relates to the torso, that's definitely erva. But all the extremities, all legs and arms, that Rabbi Willig suggests is subjective, based on the community, based on what's normal. And there, maybe even if it is the shok, Rabbi Willig could argue on the Mishnah Berurah and says, yeah, the shok is all the way down to the ankle. But shok is not like the Mishnah Berurah said, that it's objectively an erva. Rather, it's subjective, and therefore the shok, if, you know, there'd be a place where everyone reveals their shok, it would be permitted. So if all the women in this neighborhood wore shorts, it would not be considered an erva, even though Rabbi Willig gives me machmir, that like the Chazanish, that shok is all the way down to the ankle, but is being makel against the Mishnah Berurah, whereas the Mishnah Berurah says that a shok is always aser no matter what. Rabbi Willig says no, shok would depend on what people around here do. Fine. Let's move to the next point of this shir, and that is hair covering. So the question is, important to realize that even if the derech of hair is like, you know, America nowadays, that women do not cover their hair, Mishnah Berurah says, even though that's the derech, and all the women walk around the streets of Manhattan without their hair covered, it's still going to be also to say Kriya Shema. However, the Aruch HaShulchan has a kula that if the derech of women is not to cover the hair, it's mutter to say Kriya Shema. Don't misunderstand that to say that the Aruch HaShulchan allows women to have their hair uncovered in places where that's the norm. He's just saying that if they do it, then there's a heter to say Kriya Shema kenegda. Whereas the question is, what's more chamer, the hair or basar? Meaning, what could have a potential for subjectivity that if women reveal it, it will make it okay? Ramosha says that basar is worse, and therefore, even if perhaps women leave their hair uncovered, perhaps there's a tzad that you could daven connect, or at least according to the Aruch HaShulchan, but basar would not be so. And therefore, for example, if women wear short sleeves with a tefach of their upper arm revealed, then it would be an erva. You can't daven kenegda. You'd have to have an opaque non-see-through mechitza. However, Rabbi Willig said maybe it's the opposite. That maybe shok and arms, obviously, is completely subjective. And maybe seyar should be objective. And it doesn't matter what people do. Why would you say that? Because we see from when it comes to hair covering, that the pasuk says that she has to cover her hair. Even besides the din d'rabbanan of seyar b'isha erva, there's a din d'oraisa that she has to cover her hair. So maybe that makes hair objective. And even if women would be normally, women in this neighborhood do not cover their hair, it would still be aser. It would be objectively an erva, and you would not be able to daven kenegda. As far as hair covering, this is an important shaila. What about a woman who has a very hard time covering her hair? Are there tzadim lahakel? So, the Igros Moshe says the following. Says, we know the pasuk says a paras osha isha, but there's a safe, Moshe points to two lishonos in Rashi, whether covering the hair is a los asay, or it's a chiyuv asay. If it's a los asay, then there's nothing to do. There are no leniencies. If it's a chiyuv asay, then if she would lose 20% of her money, she wouldn't be able to get a job, perhaps, then we'd be able to be lenient. So the problem is that it's a two lashonos in Rashi, so it's a safek. So it's a safek d'orais, so we have to be machmir. We will not allow any leniencies for a married woman to allow her to not cover her hair, even if there is a very tremendous loss that she would suffer. However, says Rav Moshe, once she's no longer married, then the chiv to cover your hair is only drabana and das yehudis. And it's a suffix of the two lashons of Rashi on the Drabbanon. So it's a suffix of the Drabbanon. So in a case of a hefsid, for example, she would be losing 20% of her income, or, for example, poskim apply if she has a very hard time getting married, if she would have her hair covered there, some poskim would allow her to that according to this remote, she would be able to have her hair uncovered because it's if she's no longer married, she's an almana, she's a gerusha, and she wouldn't be able to get remarried or she wouldn't be able to get a job, there Ramosha would presumably allow a woman to uncover her hair because it's only drabbanon, and it's a safek whether we have the kula of for 20% because it's an isra say, chiva say as opposed to losa say. For safek drabbanon, one could be mekel in that specific scenario. Next point. How much hair could a woman allow? So Moshe allows a square tefach of hair. So that means you have to do the math. If a woman's face is two tefachim wide, that means she could reveal half a tefach high, so that half a tefach high times two tefachim wide would be a tefach of revealed hair. In terms of davening opposite an erva, or revealed hair and the like, the Shulchan Aruch says just close your eyes, but the Shulchan Aruch says that's not sufficient, you can't just close your eyes, you actually have to turn around. In terms of when does a kala have to begin covering her hair, there are three possibilities. One could say at her kedushin, one could say from nisun, or one could say, this is what Rabbi Willig says, that, well, we'll see in a moment, one could say that's not kedushin or nisun, it has to be only when she, well, we learn hair covering from a sota. So it's only once she's a sota, which is after kedushin, after nisun, only once she's a ba'ula, when she would be eligible to become a sota. So Rav Avadya Tak is machmir and says that once there's nisuin, she has to have her hair covered completely. The only thing is, according to Rav Avadya, according to Svardim, you're only nisua when you go home after the wedding, or if they have, that's why they don't have yichud till later, Svardim. So they won't have to cover their hair at the wedding because they don't have yichud. And when they get home that night, that's when nisun happens, and that's when she'll have to start covering her hair. But we, Willig holds that at a wedding, even after yichud, a woman only has to cover her hair, but a see-through cover is sufficient, as opposed to the body, for example, where you have to cover up for hair concerns. Rabbi Willig holds that hair is not a concern of hair, but it's still a chiyuv to cover it, and therefore a see-through cover would be sufficient, which is what Rabbi Willig holds, that weddings, the kala could leave her hair just covered with a see-through veil at the wedding. Okay, let us move to the next shir, which is Rabbi Shechter's shir on Hilchos Yerusha. Actually, we'll put that on the next recording.